Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, a rare daytime podcast for the Bob Davis Podcast. We'll talk about that shortly. In podcast 731, we're going to do kind of a riff on the old poem, Water, Water All Around, and Not a Drop to Drink. We are in a time when there is more news and more opinion and more information than ever, but we are living through a news vacuum and a massive national delusion. We're going to talk about it in podcast 731. One thing that's not a delusion, of course, is summer. It is summer now. It is beautiful. We are just coming into the best part of summer. One of the things I love about it is that it's still light at 10:30 at night, and that is so cool. We're so far up north in Minneapolis and St. Paul that, you know, you can see, you know, late at night, it's still light. And so summer is interesting because when you work with a plumbing company like Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Home or Business, you know, most of the time you're talking about water heaters that don't work or toilets that are broken or damage from really cold winters in Minnesota. In the summer, people start looking at what they can do, and we're really on point now because this is when all the contractors are working. This is when everyone's saying, I'm going to put on a new deck, or I'm going to put in a new bathroom, or I'm putting a new garage floor in. And so when I talk about Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, I want to remind people that these guys can do really cool stuff if you are adding a room or remodeling a garage or closing off a garage for your home business. They can put in floor heating. I wish I had that in the broadcast bunker studio because the floor then is warm and it's an amazing thing to have. So talk to Ryan about in floor heating or talk to Ryan about the plumbing for a new bathroom or anything like that. And of course, when you have plumbing or heating problems, air conditioning problems, this is the time to talk to Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Not quite real hot yet. It's going to get there. You want to make sure the AC works. Give them a call in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Four generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. In St. Paul, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, this is a rare daytime podcast for the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Usually, I do these podcasts late at night because it's quiet. It is very loud here during the day. We're right on the flight path to the airport, dogs barking, people running lawnmowers, you know, all the sounds that come with summer. And normally, I would be out on the flat next door to the broadcast bunker, but I'm not because it's too windy, and there would be all this wind in the mics, and that drives me really crazy. The reason I have the windows open is if I had them closed, I would be able to hear the planes in my headphones. You might not necessarily be able to hear the planes, and then that would bother me. So I leave the windows open and let the noise come in. Even though I'm inside, you can still hear the wind in the trees a little bit, and you can hear the planes landing, you can hear the dogs barking, and that kind of is a nice little backdrop for this podcast, which is probably going to be difficult for me. Sometimes they're easy and sometimes they are not easy. More often than not, I find the news events category of what I do, social and political talk, becomes very difficult because we are in a news flux, a news events flux, or what The Atlantic referred to as an information vacuum. The best way for me to describe the information vacuum is it exists because there's too much information and you can't keep up with all of it. And there are too many facts which can be used to point one way or another. And so you just don't even bother. So you can't engage because if you do, it's like talking to the guy at the party who is the conspiracy theorist who corners you and has 1,000 examples and citations from years and years worth of reading about the JFK assassination or you know, the Bilderbergers or whatever, that you can't possibly respond to them. And it's just it becomes a how did I end up talking to this guy kind of thing, because that's all they want to talk about. Or it's the religious person that has 100,000 facts about what Jesus meant by this or what this passage means or the rapture or the final days based on Revelations or the book of Daniel or any other number of things. You can't have a reasonable conversation because you don't have the same set of facts that they have. Well, that's the way the news is now. It's like being trapped at the party talking to the conspiracy theorist. And as a content creator, that it creates a real serious problem because it makes me not want to engage because everybody has their own facts. This is where we are today. So it's a news vacuum, and I think this actually contributes to it. I believe that we in the West, in particular the United States, we are in a delusion, and we are living in a delusion. This is a world where we think things are a certain way, and we believe things are a certain way, and they aren't that way. And if you will allow me, the way that we think things are, we think of things in terms of this binary political argument that we're having, where everything is either left or right, Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative. And I don't think things are that way. I've talked about it extensively in the podcast, but when you try to talk to people that way or talk to people about that, you're talking to a wall. And for most adults, who are at least 45, 50 years old, they all remember the left and right debates of the 80s, which seemed to have so much import. That same paradigm has now been taken to an extreme. People leap to attack or defend on any kind of content platform, whether it's talk radio or YouTube or cable shows. And almost everyone has a YouTube version of their podcast or a YouTube version of their radio show or a YouTube version of their cable show or a cable show version of their whatever, because everybody has multiple channels. And so they are using these different channels to leap to attack or defend the president, leap to attack or defend the opposition to the president. And it's become ridiculous. And the guy driving the conversation is the president. So this leads people to believe that now what we have is a cult of personality surrounding President Trump, and that the Republican Party has become a cult, which really, you could argue as not to be outdone by the cult of the left and the cult of Democrats who believe that Donald Trump is the Antichrist and the worst person, and he can do no right versus he can do no wrong on the political right. It's a really bad situation, and it means that to engage on anything, it feels bad because you end up either sounding like you're defending Trump, which I refuse to do. I am not going to defend Trump. I don't like Trump. I don't think Trump is a conservative. I don't think Trump is a Republican, but then I don't know what a Republican is, and I don't know what a Democrat is either. I don't know what any of these people are, who any of these people are, and when you look at what is actually being done, there's not much actually getting done when it comes to our government. And that is also true in the face of the same kind of partisanship in state governments. And by the way, I don't believe in uniparty government either. I don't think that the antidote for partisanship is a uniparty government. I don't think that we are going to come out of this delusion until we are awakened, and this is not to suggest that you should wake up, but that the people are, the scales fall from the eyes and they realize that they're in a delusion only when it's too late. So when the stock market crash of 1929 occurred and the scales fell from people's eyes, they realized, and really during the banking crisis of the early 30s, they realized that they were living in a delusion. They realized that they were living in a delusion when World War II started. To a certain extent, people realized that they were living in a delusion when 9/11 happened, and it didn't even look real. And that even provoked some people to adhere to the delusion that this was some sort of 3D holographic presentation even after it happened. So you'd have to deal with that. And that's the guy at the conspiracy corner at the party that's telling you that 9/11 was an inside job or any of these things. It obfuscates being able to come up with potential solutions to a potential problem, whatever that is. So we're not talking about problems. We're arguing about you know, what's going to be the outcome of the Trump-Russia investigation. People get confused between the attorney general and the inspector general. They're both generals, right? One is investigating the FBI. The other is investigating Hillary Clinton. One is investigating Hillary Clinton. The other is investigating Trump. And so this is what goes on. And in the midst of all this, the guy that's getting the most press is Donald Trump, who is really sort of pulling all the strings behind the curtain and in front of the curtain by being a lightning rod and by launching his own investigations and by launching, you know, crazy initiatives and or not crazy initiatives. And you can't even discuss things. Meanwhile, the government of the United States continues to muddle through. So you have the bureaucracy of the executive branch and you have Congress continuing to do what they do. You have, you know, fewer appointments because of the partisanship thing. Trump is not appointing people. And what happens is interim appointments get made. You have wild predictions on the outcome of almost every single thing by content creators in an effort to be relevant. And you have people saying things about what's happening, this option and this idea of predicting outcomes, because this is what people do now on the radio. You know, this is what's going on, and I'll tell you something. If we don't do this, this is going to happen. And it's so easy to do that. So what I'm going to do is run down a few of these things and talk a little bit about them, because the weekend's coming up, and I don't want to do a long and involved tome about the details concerning these things, because the details, frankly, change so often that it contributes to the news vacuum. So we're going to talk about Trump's North Korean meeting. We're going to talk about a booming economy. We're going to talk about leaping to attack or defend. We're going to talk about the cult of Trump and the cult of Republican and the cult of Democrat. And we'll talk about the Democrat strategy with attorneys general across the country. A little bit about the regulatory environment. I had a great experience this week on that front. And I don't know where we'll go from there. But this is kind of just kind of a rambling kind of sit and talk about some of the things going on that I think should be talked about. Working with a new company called Relia Fund. Actually, those guys invited me to a conference this week in downtown Minneapolis, and I really learned a lot. It was fantastic. The payment processing industry is really growing, and Relia Fund is one of the companies that's instrumental in that growth. If you have a business and you do business through your website, or you are building systems to take payments, if you're a developer and you're building websites or systems to take payments, you might want to talk to Relia Fund. Because this is what they do. They are a payment processor. They've been around for 20 years providing integrated solutions to get payments processed for more than two decades. Yes, they can help with credit card payments. Yes, they can get you better rates more often than not. Yes, they have mobile apps. If you're developing e-commerce, if you're developing back office stuff, if you are doing that for your business, getting paid faster is a good deal, right? So if you call Relia Fund, you'll deal with an actual human being, no long-term contracts. They are secure, technology-focused. Here's the number, 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040, or you can check them out online at reliafund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D. You can talk to Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry at reliafund.com. Click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. It's the blue Relia Fund banner, and that will take you to their website, and you can learn more about reliafund.com. You know, one of the many things that goes back and forth with this president is this question about trade protection. So if you are dealing with a company or you deal with a company or you are a company that's doing foreign manufacturing, you got to be hedging your bets. If you're preparing to reshore your production to the United States, as in your manufacturing, then I want to tell you about DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. There are definite reasons to manufacture in the U.S. and in Minnesota. DepoStar is one of them. Visit their website at DepoStar.com, D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, DepoStar.com. I'm going to start with North Korea because I think North Korea was one of the most extraordinary instances in time that I've seen happen in a long time. And this was the quote-unquote summit between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore just a few days ago. And as soon as it happened, before it happened, while it was happening, as soon as it was over, the entire media structure was devoted to either telling you why it was a mistake, why it wasn't going to happen, what was going to happen at it, what was happening at it, who was there, what was being said, which no one knew because they supposedly had this private discussion. And then afterward, how terrible it was and what a mistake it was and how Trump got snookered and or it was brilliant and Trump is brilliant and now we have world peace and everything is fine and gee whiz, once again, Trump is underestimated and on and on and on. Very little devoted to the real nuts and bolts of what both sides, quote unquote, got out of the meeting. And I would just say, you know, Trump talked for an hour after the summit and said some just amazing things, namely and mostly about what a great guy Kim Jong-un was and how he was somebody that had come up in a rough world and that the North Koreans were suddenly, this is after months and months of rhetoric about them being a brutal totalitarian regime, which they are. And now suddenly we're going to be developing North Korea's beaches. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the president talking about development for North Korea as holding it out as a carrot. Got that. But, you know, complimenting Kim and on his leadership is a bit much. So what North Korea has wanted for years is to be legitimized by having a meeting with an American president or being invited to the White House. Because what that does is it brings North Korea into the family of nations. And that's what they have wanted for years and years and years. Now, I think if you listen to one of the earlier podcasts, I talked about Trump and North Korea, and I said one of the things that the West did with East Germany right before the fall of East Germany was they decided that East German, the East German leader, Erich Honecker, was someone who had craved legitimacy. And Helmut Kohl and Reagan's people decided that what maybe they should do is go ahead and give Honecker what he wanted. And if we gave East Germany and Honecker everything they wanted, maybe it would actually cause the collapse because it would leave them there would be no future in anything else because they would run out of steam. And they did just that. And of course, you know, by giving Gorbachev and by giving Honecker, you know, recognition and by engaging with them and by admitting them, essentially what it did is it began to break down the wall. And the rest is history. By 1983, the Soviet Union ceased to exist, right? 84, 83, at some point in there. And it was extraordinary. This is a little different in the sense that North Korea has a nuclear weapon and is seeking legitimacy. So he just handed that over to Kim and then spoke in glowing terms about how he had accomplished world peace. So I'll just tell you my perception. There's a pattern in what Trump does. Trump has a big buildup. He talks big, and then he goes and he does something, and his bite is not as bad as his bark. So he makes all kinds of crazy statements and then goes in and tries to save a Chinese company. So he makes all these statements and slaps all these tariffs and everything else and talks tough about China. And then 2 months later, he's trying to help a Chinese company be saved in the United States. He talks tough to Canada, and we have to see what the results are. But by that time, everyone has forgotten what the results are. So if you actually go and read the communique, and that's what it is from the meeting that Trump had with Kim, there's really very little substance there and very little required to, quote unquote, denuclearize. The other thing people should know is that the North Koreans view the word denuclearization different than the United States. So the North Koreans see denuclearization as the U.S. pulling the nuclear threat from the peninsula and pulling its troops away from Japan and South Korea. We see denuclearization as the North Koreans getting rid of their nuclear weapons. There's no indication in that communique that any of that stuff is going to happen. So they signed a communique. They did not sign an agreement. So they had a meeting, and that is something that you can say, okay, we finally started to meet with North Koreans. Tensions may have come down a little bit. We can be happy about that. But as far as the future is concerned, nothing. And as far as the injustices to the North Korean people in particular and the danger that exists on the South Korean, you know, on the whole Korean peninsula and vis-a-vis South Korea, nothing really has happened. Meanwhile, he also, in this one-hour statement, said a bunch of crazy stuff about Japan and South Korea that could be taken as an insult. But having said all that, I think it's important to point out that the proof is in the pudding, especially when it comes to diplomacy. So everyone has decided now, whether it's, you know, Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or, you know, E.J. Dionne or, you know, any of these people, that Trump either screwed it up or he did this amazing, incredible thing. And, you know, it just remains to be seen. So I'm not going to do a podcast on whether or not Trump succeeded or not, because I don't think there's any measure of success with this. You know, the North Koreans still have nuclear weapons. They still have a delivery system for a nuclear weapon. The only thing that you can say is that there has been a PR offensive that Kim really won, and a PR offensive that Trump won for his people in the United States. So both of them walked away with a mass media win, but nothing substantive has changed in terms of the orientation of North Korea militarily, other than we've decided to postpone or remove the exercises, which was really driving them crazy because it cost them a lot of money to deal with those exercises from a quote-unquote defensive position. I don't want to go on and on about it, but there you go. That's one thing. Then we get to the booming economy storyline, which, you know, all of the people who are defending Trump constantly are talking about the booming U.S. economy. And I'll just give you one example of a booming economy story, which was in, I think it was in the New York Daily News. And the title was "The Economy is Booming," something to the effect of "The Economy is Booming and No One Seems to Recognize It," or something to that effect. So there are objective measurements for economic growth, and they are not unemployment, and they are not political polls. And this entire study, this entire little piece, was based on political polling and based on the unemployment numbers. Any economist will tell you unemployment can be up or down, and we can still have low or no growth or a recession or, you know, negative growth in the economy. So unemployment is not, and wages aren't an indicator. They're something to look at, but they are not the final arbiter of economic growth. What we're waiting for are the GDP numbers for the second quarter. So the first quarter GDP numbers, if you'll recall, there was all this talk about how the economy was doing. Second quarter GDP numbers were just basically 2.6% growth, which is not really robust. If the new numbers come out and it's 4%, well, that's one quarter of 4% growth. President Obama and President Bush had quarters of 4% or more growth, and then they fell back in the second or third quarter. So the, you know, and I'll give you an example of why. So if Boeing sells four or five jets, or if a huge order for farm machinery comes in to CAT, or if construction has a seasonal, you know, spurt, those are all things that can drive economic growth to a higher level. Retail sales are not a sign of economic growth. So retail sales can be up because the price of gasoline is up, but that doesn't mean that retail sales are improving. The stock market is not, you know, an indicator of a quote-unquote booming economy. All of those things together can be something that's conclusive, but what you're really looking at are the gross domestic product numbers released by the government. That is the standard by which we judge economic growth. So if the second quarter numbers come out and it's 4%, that's good. 4%, by the way, is not booming. 6% is booming. 4% is not booming. So if we have a 6% or more number, that's a booming economy for at least one quarter, and that's a rearview mirror. And yet all of the people are saying the economy's booming, things are better. And the other thing is, oh, the tax bill has caused a booming economy. And as I went through the tax bill, as if you listen to the podcast, or I went through the tax bill again, The tax bill, yes, we should be happy that they did something with tax reform. It is an amendment to the Tax Reform Act of 1987. It does not amend tax law. It amends the tax law that was laid down in 1987. It does not repeal the mandate for Obamacare. It reduces the mandate to zero. What it gives, it takes away. For example, if you live in a high-tax state, you are not going to be able to write off your taxes. So you, if depending on where you live, if you live in Minnesota or New York or California, you may actually pay more tax than these are all. And this isn't to attack the people who wrote the tax bill. It's a legislative accomplishment, whether you're, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. They got it passed, so it's considered a legislative accomplishment. That's certainly a feather in the president's cap. It's certainly the feather in Mitch McConnell's cap and Paul Ryan's cap, but it doesn't mean that it's working. It doesn't mean that it's producing, you know, runaway economic growth. There are so many factors in what actually produces economic growth that it's hard to tell what that GDP number says. So what I do is I say, what's the point of me talking about the economy? I mean, I can get people on to say the economy's booming, but then I would just argue with them. Because you can't base an idea that the economy is booming on a political, opinion poll. You know, it's welcome information if you're on the side that is benefiting from the poll. If you're a Republican and you're working for the executive branch and people are writing that there is a booming economy, well, that's fantastic. But if you're on the left, it's confusing because you have to position against the opinion that the economy is doing well. This is the same thing that happened with the election. Everybody said Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. Anybody who took the time to look could tell early on that in the key states, presidents are elected by the Electoral College, not the people directly. If you looked at the key states, you could see that it was going to be a close election. And I said that, and people laughed at me. And so when Trump won, it certainly wasn't a surprise because I didn't predict that he would win or wouldn't win. You can't make predictions about the future on things that you don't have enough information to make the prediction about things. So then you're down to what are the policies? You know, what are we actually doing? What is the Federal Reserve doing? You know, what is business doing? What about business formation? What's going on with the markets? What's going on with unemployment? What is going on with, actually removing by statute regulations, not removing them by refusing to appoint somebody or not removing them to having a political appointee in the short term get remove a regulation only to have another political appointee come back in or only to have another political appointee change the degree of enforcement. I went to a banking conference this week, which was really great, with my friend Kevin from ReliaFund. Now, it was about it was a conference for payment processing as an industry. But one of the things we talked about is this Consumer Financial Protection Board, which was established by the Senate in the Obama administration. So Trump has, reduced the amount of regulation coming out of that board. But the thing is, the board has not been removed by statute. So the board remains. And so these agencies, when they're created, they have a tendency to grow on their own. And through each successive administration, there's a yin and a yang with these agencies, but we don't get rid of them. We now have an education department, which some would argue is actually very much overbearing. And that's just not something that Republicans say. It's something that Democrats say for other reasons. You have a Department of Energy that can be overbearing. You have departments of defense and agencies of intelligence, which can be considered to be too powerful or not powerful enough. These agencies don't go away once they have been established. And what you have to look for is substantive things that have been done as a result, as opposed to saying Trump's going to deregulate everything, or Trump has deregulated everything, or Trump has cut away, he's draining the swamp. I'm here to tell you the swamp has not been drained. Those agencies still exist. People still work for those agencies well below the administrative level. There are still people working at the IRS doing things. There are still people working at the FBI doing things. There are still people working at the NSA doing things. There are still people working at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau doing things. There are still senators holding committee hearings and so forth and so on. These things are not political accomplishments, but they're talked about as political accomplishments. So the regulatory environment, you know, is being pointed to as a reason business, quote unquote, is booming. Well, do you know what's been changed in the regulatory environment? I don't. I don't think very much has been changed. I think what's happening is new political appointees are deciding to enforce things or not deciding to enforce things. This banking thing that I went to is discussing one single agency which deals with a part of the economy that touches all the other parts of the economy. But there's an FCC, there's an FAA, there's a Federal Trade Commission, there is an FDA. There are all these agencies, and the regulations may be enforced differently, but they are still on the books because they have to be removed by an act of Congress. So when you talk about deregulating, when you talk about cutting through the red tape, when you talk about draining the swamp, those are all things that haven't happened. It's just a question of what's being done or not done. And to that degree, you know, he would have you believe that he's this incredibly competent president. And this is not to attack Trump's performance. And the things that he considers achievements are puffed up beyond belief because he hasn't made very many appointments, because he can't, because the partisan divide in Congress is so pronounced, particularly in the Senate, that they just wouldn't get the appointments through. So he's appointing some judges that may have some impact on some judgments going forward. But he hasn't appointed a lion's share of people at agencies and as well as federal judges below the Supreme Court, which still have to be, you know, approved by the Senate. So there's all these things going on that people say. So they're wild predictions on things. And one of them, of course, is the outcome of the midterm elections. They're just these crazy, wild predictions about Congress and what's going to happen. And the Democrats are going to have a wave. What's the reason for it? Well, Hillary Clinton won all these districts by 20 points. Therefore, the guy running for Congress is going to – there's no way a Republican can win in that district. Well, that's a ridiculous thing to say because you don't know that. Most of these districts, there's no polling data, and the polling data that exists is terrible, even for statewide races like in Texas or in North Carolina or South Carolina or wherever there's an issue. And so these talking heads make wild predictions based on their biases. I can tell you right now, no one can tell you with any degree of confidence what's going to happen in the midterm elections. It's impossible. And if you listen to my podcast about Congress, you know, the House of Representatives, the reason I did that and I haven't done another one is we're not done with the primary season. We have primaries until August, and primaries have already changed some of the predictions about what was going to happen. Remember, California was going to fall into the blue ocean. And Republicans were going to get killed because so many Democrats are running. Then suddenly the Democrats were going to get killed because there were too many Democrats running in these primaries. And now things have settled down to there's, guess what? In many of the districts, there's a Republican candidate and there's a Democrat candidate in some of these districts that are, you know, quote unquote, red districts in California. The other thing is I deeply object to these colors, blue versus red. You know, the Minnesota GOP slogan is "Turn Minnesota Red," which implies that Republicans are conservatives, but they're not. The Republicans running in primaries and the Republicans serving in the House and the state Senate are not necessarily quote-unquote conservatives or libertarians or whatever you want to call them. So the color red or the color blue really doesn't describe the man or the woman who actually is serving. It doesn't serve to describe the person that actually holds the election certificate. So you should not listen to all of these wild predictions by people who are trying to remain relevant. I could put up a podcast every day about the political environment, about news, about Mueller, about Pizzagate, about all this stuff, and I would have lots and lots of feeds. But it would be a disservice to the people that listen to me, because the thing that people depend on me for is to say, you don't know that. You know, these things are going to take time to come to a resolution, and there's no point in saying what's going to happen or not going to happen until after we see some results for whatever's going on. And the election is one of those things. Yeah, we'll have a better idea the closer we get to Election Day, November 7th, Tuesday, 2018. But even then, with 435 House races and one-third or more of the U.S. Senate, lots of open seats and all sorts of other issues, it's going to be very difficult for anyone, no matter how experienced they are, for making a prediction. And in fact, many of these guys are either they're lobbyists, or they are in service to people from various ends of the political spectrum. So don't listen to predictions about what's going to happen, because the truth is some people have a lot of experience doing it. Some people don't. Some people don't bother to avail themselves of the information that's available. They just repeat what somebody else said, because we're all about predicting outcomes. And one of the good examples on that was the Inspector General's report on the FBI and Comey, which was supposedly going to result in a Hillary Clinton indictment. And it said that there was no political bias on the part of Comey, but they violated all sorts of procedures. So what did they do? Well, they split the baby, which is what all these bureaucrats do because they don't want to get fired. So it's another completely useless report, which has no political impact, because it's... you can use it to say whatever you want to say. You know, they say, well, they did do this and they did do that, but they didn't do that. So you're back to the guy standing in the corner with a beer arguing about whether or not, JFK was killed by Oswald or somebody from the mafia or, you know, the communists or whatever. And then you get these individual media personalities, content creators who are really chasing relevance. They are desperate to remain relevant. One of the guys that's desperate to remain relevant now, and it's worse than it's ever been, is Glenn Beck, who is a copycat and a follower and always has been. And he is really struggling to remain relevant. And his stuff is terrible. It doesn't advance the story. So when I say advancing the story, well, you want new facts. So new information has come to light. Guess what? The new numbers are out, and we have 6% GDP growth for the second quarter. So we can say that the economy has been booming. Okay, that's new information. That's advancing the story. Guess what? The Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates three times in the next 6 months. That is advancing the story, you know, and we'll see what the effects are in 6 months. Those are developments. So-and-so has been indicted and is now facing trial. There, you know, the Senate or the House has issued impeachment documents and is taking them over to the Senate so that we can have an impeachment trial. The Democrats have won the House. Now what's going to happen? Okay, those are developments that you can say, okay, these advance the story. And this is where you say, well, what's the actual story? And then you provide information that advances the story. So you, the listener, know, okay, this is what's going on. This is what I'm doing. This is what I should think about this. Or this is what I think about this based on my own reading, based on my own experience in business or my own life experience or what I think. We, again, are in a vacuum where you agree or disagree with defense or offense. Everything else is fake news. You see, I was shocked, actually, and I shouldn't be, but I was shocked to see Republican candidates at the Minnesota GOP convention just parroting Donald Trump down the line, chapter and verse, which is why some analysts call the Republicans a cult of personality or a cult of Trump, because you have to agree with Trump or nobody wants to talk to you. It's all propaganda. And there, by the way, on top of all this, there is some really powerful propaganda actually still on YouTube all over the place. If you get a chance, watch this iGoat 2 video. I have been, I'll put a link up. I've been watching it. There are all kinds of people on YouTube telling people that the iGoat 2 video is a prediction of a North Korean attack on the United States, and it's imminent. It could happen by the time this podcast goes up. That would be, of course, a resolution, and I could say, well, guess what? The North Koreans have attacked the United States. That now we can advance the story. But it's a video that was done by the guy that did the special effects for the Lord of the Rings movies, and it's really cool, and it's really eerie. But it's got all these people saying things about what it supposedly says, and the guy that made the video doesn't really say much. So what is that all about? And that's the kind of propaganda that's out there. One of the other ones is that Donald Trump and all his children are being protected by God, and that they can do no wrong, and that all of the persecution of Trump is from the people who are Satan, and all that does is contribute to the cult of Trump. And then you say, well, now what? What do I do now? How do I cope with all of this? Well, again, my personal opinion, and I'm not pushing this, but I'm just going to tell you my personal opinion, is that we're in a delusion. America is not free. The economy is not booming. Almost everything you do is watched and written down and copied. Almost everything you do is filed. The country is becoming more and more governmentized, and it seems to be able to cope less and less as the government's power increases daily. So wanting to know the future and talking about these things as though they're going to happen or not going to happen in the future is a distraction from the delusion that somehow this is the same country that existed 70 years ago or 100 years ago. And for those of us that are able to at least continue to speak our minds, we have to start thinking about what people need to know to protect themselves and to tack to the future. We still have huge source problems. People cannot discern sources. They don't know whether something is religious, something is Russian propaganda, literally from Russia television, or whether it is a religious something. We have degraded templates of judgments where we take everything in as, is this coming from an approved Republican source, or is this coming from an approved Democrat source or left-wing source? We aren't able to look at something and say, you know, Bernie Sanders has a point there, or Paul Ryan has a point there. We are not looking at results. We are looking at predictions and considering predictions as real results. This is all part of the delusion. And I've given you some of them, but we're also not realizing it takes a long time for the government to work through things. What's my prediction in terms of the result? The reality is sooner or later going to intercede or intervene in the form of a train wreck or a baseball bat or a 2x4 on almost everyone. And the best thing that you can do is pull back long enough to say, what are exactly the facts? Now I'll come back later and see what the resolution is. There's an economic boom? Okay. Where is it? And what's the evidence of the economic boom? How do I know? One of the things I'm reading right now is a book on classical economics by Thomas Sowell, who goes through the whole history. It's very difficult for me because it's very analytical and there's a lot of math in it, but it's a great book to read to get a grounding in political economic philosophy. Things like that, where you're reading source material, even good novels, even classic novels, as opposed to thinking the way the juggernaut of content creation and cable television and YouTube and everything else, including the podcast, want you to think. I don't want to tell you how to think. I don't want to fight that battle. I don't care. All I care about is waking up from this delusion that we're in. We have to look at results, not predictions, and that's the thing. I just think that people, my experience and my knowledge of history suggests that populations don't wake up from delusions. They are awakened from delusions, and then that still creates more shards where people go off in different directions. But they are shocked into awareness of what actually is going on. And I think it's getting weirder and weirder and weirder. Maybe it's because I'm weird. Maybe it's because I feel the energy. I do know other people feel the same. It's very hard to get a handle on what's happening. And it's very hard to talk about, which is one of the reasons this podcast is going on longer than I should have. But it's hard to figure out or talk about what's happening because it's hard to get a handle on it because so much of this is persuasive. Fake news doesn't even begin to approach it. It's just... news organizations don't have actual reporters and journalists. Even when they do, their content is suppressed. You know, video channels are usually one or two guys or a foundation with one or two guys. News organizations are basically production people and low-level younger people who don't have a lot of life experience, who have to look things up. You still have to look things up to find out what actually happened. And then there's all kinds of misinformation on what's going on, like the Mandela effect or, you know, the event, which is supposedly going to change everyone's energy, or the pole shift or flat earth or all this propaganda. And I look at it and I say, why is this? Is this just the way it is? Is this what these new media architectures have produced? Or is there a reason for this? Is it being directed? And I can't answer that question because I don't know enough. But I do think that's part of advancing the story, is asking what is actually going on. And the answer most of the time is nobody knows. And so I'll leave it at that. Well, no matter what kind of crazy delusion you're living in, you still got to make sure the toilets work and that the water heater is heating and that the AC works. For that purpose, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, online at ryanplumbing.com, or you can call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul for four generations, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, BlogTalkRadio.com, Spreaker, TuneIn, Google Play. You can get it on Alexa. You can get it on the whatever that assistant Google has, the home assistant thing. Try it out. Thanks for listening, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, my favorite, and for your donations to the BobDavisPodcast.com for diesel fuel for Mobile Podcast Command. Summer plans. I'll tell you more about them coming soon, but it is, I've gone on long enough. Thanks for listening to podcast 731, the Bob Davis Podcasts. In a delusion.